We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Preaching for decades, I thought he was going to say centuries or something. I'm starting to sweat. And, you know, I was listening to the music tonight. By the way, turn over to Proverbs while I'm warming up here. Proverbs 26, we are going to talk about laziness tonight, and I hope that I can challenge us on this subject. Many of you know that for 33 years I was with the military, predominantly the Air Force. I pastored any Air Force people in here tonight? Oh, yeah, here we go. All for the Marine Corps, stand up and say so. Let me put my stick down. Somebody asked me, why don't I stand when you sing? Well, if I do, then I have to sit when I preach, so I'd rather do the twist it around a little. I can walk without a cane, but I have a tendency to go over. I had four operations on my right hip and consequently have no muscle in there. So I walk with a cane, not because I have to lean on it, but I need it in case I decide to fall over. Anyhow, getting back to the military, Wednesday night was always our tough service. Most of the times people, I watch you show up. You're much like most people come into church at 1, 2, 3 minutes before time. And I would watch the military come in. Many would come in their uniforms. They wouldn't even go home and eat. It was a real interesting service. And when you walked in the auditorium, you could smell that this guy was a hydraulic troop on airplanes. This guy over, you smell him, you could tell he refueled the airplanes. The pilots would walk in and they'd have that rubber thing on their face, that mark. And guys had looked at radar scopes all day. They'd come in, you know, bug-eyed. And to get them to sing, honestly, I'm not kidding you, it was a chore. And then you better get right to the point, because that's the first time they've had a chance to sit down in about 12 hours, and they start going to sleep. You could throw beanbags at them, and you wouldn't wake them up. And so I was sitting here listening to the music tonight, thinking, wow, I wish we'd have had that kick in England. But they would always come. That was one thing. They always came, were faithful. I tried to give them something to hold on to take them into the Sunday service. So anyhow, I want to speak to you tonight about a subject that plagues all of us from time to time, and that's laziness. How many in here would say you're lazy? Well, you're honest. Now listen, I'm only the messenger tonight. When you see what the Bible says, don't wait for me out in the parking lot with a machete, all right? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. All right, so listen, what I want you to do is in Proverbs chapter 26, starting in verse 13, follow along. Let me read these verses. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then from there we'll take a look at what the Bible teaches us on this subject. Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived, and he surely was an authority on this subject. So in Proverbs 26, we pick up the reading in verse 13. It says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon the bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It giveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The slothful is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Now, Heavenly Father, it is my plea with you tonight, through the power of the Holy Spirit, should there be one soul here tonight not saved, they'd leave here tonight with a new life. Many of us have toiled and labored in the past, have kind of slowed down. Perhaps laziness has gripped us. I'd pray tonight, maybe you'd touch us in a way to re-energize us to serve. I know in John, Jesus said with his own words, the night cometh when no man can work. So may we be found faithful all the way to the end. I pray the message will be a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, I can say this verse by from memory, but every time I get behind the pulpit, I always panic a little bit, so I read them. So you should know this if you're a soul winner, and if you're not a soul winner, you ought to be a soul winner. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's very clear. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So here's what we understand about salvation. We're saved by faith, but not by our works. Don't ever confuse that. There's not a thing you could do that could trump the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Amen? That's not possible. But there's something that takes place after salvation. Notice what he says. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And here it is. Before God saved us, he had a plan for our life. He had a work that he is calling us to do. In the Old Testament, if you study the book of Genesis, you'll know that man always labored. As a matter of fact, before God told Adam and Eve to rest, he told them, "Listen, I want you to labor. I want you to take care of the garden." But like most of us, they couldn't do what they were supposed to, and they got in trouble. You know the story. And they ate the forbidden fruit. And then God says, "All right." He said, "Now you're going to labor the rest of your life by the sweat of your brow, and you're going to really work, and you're going to labor." As a matter of fact, the Bible is all about working. All about working. I used to, when I was in the military, I had some guys that were allergic to work. And in the military, it's a good motivator. You just simply tell them, you pick it up or you're going to go over and spend some time in the pokey. You'd be surprised how well that works. You don't even got to raise your voice. But in Christianity, there's this tendency to reach this point to where we start to get lazy. I've been there. I'm talking from experience tonight. I've seen it in others. And as we get lazy, we stop serving the Lord. Now, let me just ask a question tonight. How many in this room tonight are over 35? Let me see your hands. 90% of us. Do you? I was going to go higher, but I thought, no. And under 100. No. And do you realize, I need to turn my phone off. Todd, what do you think? Sorry about that, folks. I thought I killed it. He won't let me alone for nothing. And I rag him about his phone. And do you realize that we have an accumulative amount of hundreds of years of knowledge sitting in here tonight? You realize if we put our heads together, if we would re-energize ourselves, now we're not going to get up to the level where we used to be. When I was in the ministry, I had two good hips. I didn't have a bad back. I had all my teeth. Not so today. We start to slow down, but that's no reason to quit. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. So what we do is we learn to work within the realm of the ability of our health and our spiritual knowledge. Some of you have a tremendous ability to just share with someone. Some of you can still teach. I still preach, not at the level I'd like to, but I still preach. And on it goes. But the idea is we have to guard against getting lazy. I used to hear this thing, "Well, I've done my thing, it's time for someone else." Wait a minute. You can't afford to say that because the Bible tells us very plainly that one day we all come before God and God is going to judge our works. to see of what sort they are. And we're going to give an account for that. Again, I want you to understand something. If you're not saved by faith tonight, you're not saved. Amen. Works is an outpouring of faith. And by the way, what God wants to use in you, you can't produce yourself. He's not interested in what you can do. He's interested in what you can't do so that he can make something of you and so he can get the credit of everything you do. And so we're going to look at laziness. We're going to start over here in Proverbs. And I'm going to give you the symptoms, and then we're going to take a look tonight at really the cure. Number one on your outline, I'd like for you to put in there, makes bizarre excuses. I mean, I've heard a lot of doozies. I really did. I had a family one time in my church tell me we can't come to and serve tonight because we bought a new refrigerator and we're going to sit home and watch it to make sure it runs. I kid you not. I said, well, I hope it don't run out the door. And here's the bizarre excuse. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Ain't that bizarre? Let me tell you something. Everybody would be hiding if that was the case. We make bizarre excuses why we can't serve God, why we can't labor in God's kingdom. Excuses. It just seems like they're everywhere and in everything. And you go to somebody and you ask them, there's an excuse. Perhaps you have your favorites. I used to have a deacon. I could always tell when he was fed up at the meeting. He had a kidney stone attack. I'm not kidding you. We'd be sitting there and then, you know, right at 12 o'clock, he'd go, oh! You're excused. Well, I don't mean to be. You're excused. And it's funny to me that we can find reason for everything in life, but it seems to serve God. Number two is in love with ease. Look at verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful man in his bed. This is what it's saying. Basically, he likes to roll back and forth in his bed. He likes his bed. You know, when my boys were growing up, you couldn't get them in bed. Then when they get to teenagers, you can't get them out of bed. And when you get to our age, you can't wait to go to bed. Man, you start looking at that clock. Hurry up. Hurry up. How many have this stupid idea that you go to bed at a certain time? You wait for that time to come. That's why I'm looking at the clock. Marge, it's getting there. I'm not going to tell you what time it is. I go to bed. But I say, well, we got to go now. Well, just 5 more minutes. You know what 5 more minutes mean? I pass out on the chair. And then she says, Tom, I hear you. Sleep is a necessity of life. I mean, you can't, you know, do without it. And sleep in and of itself is a necessity, but it can easily be abused. It really can. It can easily be abused. And so this slothful man, he enjoys his bed. He enjoys sleeping. And he tosses and turns it in. He has an orthopedic mattress. It's electrically operated. It goes up and down. That's what mine does. What I like about mine is when I get a bad back. I told my wife, when we come back to the States, I'm buying an electric bed. And I like it. When my back hurts, I just push that button. Zzz, zzz, zzz. That's what it sounds like. Zzz, zzz, zzz. And then the backache goes away for a while. And but too much sleep is a bad thing. By the way, too much sleep will lead you into depression. You got to watch that. And how many of you can wake up on your own? Yeah, that's all right, isn't it? And you just, Victoria, silence. Anyhow, I use an alarm clock because I have a terrible problem. If I don't wake up by an alarm clock and I wait till I wake up, I feel terrible. Anybody like that? Oh, good. I'm glad I'm not by myself. But anyhow, they love sleep. They love sleep. Number three. They hide from work. You ever notice when there's a church clean? Well, I don't know how you'd much do it here, but at our church, we needed everybody to come and help work. And some of these guys, they would take off. It was the only time in the year they'd go to London. It was the only time of the year that they were going to change the brakes on their car or something. They'd hide from work. And the sad fact is, if you study the statistics, 90% of the church does nothing, while 10% carries the back of the church. 10%. And so in our ministry, I used to sit in the platform with Todd. Todd was my administrator, much like Pastor Micah. And I'd sit up there and I'd say, well, I wonder, Todd, is that our next cleaner, the one who's going to clean, or is this the next Sunday school teacher, or is this the next one who's a door greeter? And I always used to look and wonder who God was bringing into our church. And I really enjoyed that. And I remember one day, this old crotchety fellow walked in. And he probably was about 55, 56. I can say that because I'm in my 60s. And he walked in there, but he got real quiet. I leaned over to Todd and said, who's this guy? Todd said, you don't know who that is? I said, no. He said, that's General Hess. Well, I'm telling you, it got quiet in there because he was a 3rd Air Force commander. When he said jump, you'd ask how high. And but he came to church, and, you know, I remember he was so tied up, 9/11 happened, and that really took him away from us a lot. But his ministry, I'm going to tell you what it was. He couldn't work in the church, but especially after 9/11, people would sit there, and when he'd walk in, it was like a peace. There's something about his presence. And after a while, I watched all the people, instead of letting him walk out first, they cut in front of him. In the military, you never do that. But at church, after a while, they did, and he became a good friend of ours. And his ministry, he couldn't work there because he was the commander, obviously. But his presence, he was doing a work for God, and a lot of people didn't know it. And so the idea here is, don't hide. Don't make excuses. You belong working for the Lord in some capacity. I've always said this. If you could get about 80% of the church soul winning, you'd be shocked what would happen. Not always in a collective manner, but I mean on a daily basis, sharing with someone. If the church in general, by and large, would say, hey, I would do this, I could help with that, you realize the load that it would take off the staff of the church if they never had to worry about finding people to do things? And I'm sure in this room there's been deacons and pastors and, I don't know about the nursery at our age, but Sunday school, you have to really be blessed to work in there. I always used to call the nursery the war department. And so here's the thing. Don't hide. That's a telltale sign that you're headed down that road to laziness. I hear people say, well, bless God, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, I'd rather not do either. I'd rather find where I fit and operate under the power of the Holy Spirit and do what God wants me. That's why we burn out, because we're doing things outside of what God wants us to do. Number four. Is a good one. They believes he is smarter than others. You ever meet people like that? In the military, I used to call them barracks preachers. They knew everything about the Bible. But they think they're smarter than everyone else. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. That's interesting because in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 3, Paul writes this, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I'm telling you what, I've seen a lot of Christians walk around with big heads. I mean, you know, the Bible says little knowledge, what does it do? Puffs up. Gives you a big fat melon. And after a while, you think you're you're the next Apostle Paul. You know, I had a guy like that in my church. I'm not kidding you. A guy come to me and he said, I got to tell you something. I always used to like them. He'd say, God sent me to finish what Paul started. And I'm going to be greater than Paul. I am not kidding you. You know what that guy's doing today? He's selling cars in Nebraska. His life hasn't amounted to much. Always remember, you're nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And if we got our just desserts, it wouldn't be heaven. Amen. And it's a marvelous thing. I thank God every day that one day he'll call me away from here. He'll call me home. I wonder, do you have a home in heaven? What's waiting you when death meets your life? I always am concerned when I preach that there's lost people. I always worry for them. And somehow, I think they're smarter than everybody else. I had a guy who used to come to church all the time. I asked him, "Hey, are you saved?" And he'd say, I have a special agreement with Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Oh, really? And I'd ask him every week. And one day he said, "No, I'm not saved." You know what? You can't give up. You can't give in. It's just like working for the Lord. You got to persevere. Do you know, after the first Gulf War was over, I was standing at the front door greeting people. And I had this guy come running into the church. And he said, "You're Pastor Tom." I said, "I am." I said, "Who are you?" And he proceeded to tell me his name. He said, "You don't know me." He said, "I deployed with the 49th TAC Fighter Wing." He said, "I spent the last 9 months down in the Gulf." He said, "There was a guy who drove a bus." He said, "And every night when he'd pick us up off the flight line, it was a 30-minute drive back to the barracks, and he'd put one of your preaching tapes in." He said, "I hated you." He said, "Man, I hated you." He said, "And I'd yell up there, 'Turn that down,' and the guy would yell back, 'I don't hear you.'" 4 weeks before he came back, on that blue goose, that's what we call it, the bus, he bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. That wasn't me. That was just some bus driver being obedient. Couldn't witness. He was not a very proficient witness in witnessing. So he put big mouth on. And in my early days, I was pretty wild. You'd know Micah, wouldn't you? Turn or burn, teach the rest, shoot the rest, get out of the way. Then I met Grace. How many ever met Grace? Amen. Grace goes a lot further than anything. And so here's the symptoms. What about it? You got them? They're eating away at your life. Let's look at a solution. Here it comes. Now, you won't find these contextual, so I'll call them out to you, and you can write the verse. And I told my wife coming over, I said, "You know, I should have told them to put these verses up on the screen." And then I thought, well, sometimes it's good to oil our old knuckles looking for verses. And here's the first one. Consider your future. Consider your future. You know, the Bible says that we're nothing but pilgrims passing through this place. Paul said we brought nothing in. It is certain we carry nothing out, having food and raiment. You better be content. I've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse at a graveyard. I don't know about you. But here it is. Write it down. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 20, verse 4. Here, this is a good one. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Stop and think about that. You live a full life and you wind up with nothing. Now, I personally believe that you teach children to work. Amen? My boys will tell you, I taught them to work. Either the easy way or the hard way, but they would learn to work. And I believe that one day God will reward us for our labors. But if you're doing nothing, you get nothing. You understand that one day this life ends. I learned in Florida, before you get on the interstate, you better be prayed up. You better learn to pray for your enemies too. I've never seen so many crazy drivers in my life. And, you know, I've traveled all over Europe. I've driven from England into Romania, pulling trailers, driving cars. And I've never run into wackos like Pasco County. You got to think for them. My wife adopted a new thing. When the light changes, she said, go ahead. Just go. And, but this life will end. It'll either end for you in heaven or in hell. Why anybody would want to go there, I don't know. Solomon challenges the sluggard. He says in Proverbs 6, verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? When are you going to get up? When are you going to start doing something? Stop being so lazy. When I was in the military, I used to be at work at 5:30 in the morning. And I thought that was late because when I was in that children's home for 18 years, I went to the barn at 4:30. I worked for some Germans. Anybody work for any Germans over here? I'm not prejudiced against them, but you better learn to work. They used to call me a hippie. And one German said, Tommy Adams, you're a hippie. You're like all the hippies. On Labor Day, he used to say, Tommy, we work twice as hard. I said, oh, really? And I'm telling you, I'd get out. First thing I'd do is I'd go out and you know what a silo is. You climb up the silo, open a silage door, throw down until you got down to one door. Then you climb back down. Then I'd go back and feed the little calves. And then my job was to clean the cows and get them ready for the pumpers to come by. And then after all that was done, I had to walk all the way back, which was almost about a 20, 30-minute walk, and then walk back and get a shower. By the time I'd get a shower and get out and get changed, the other kids were waking up and coming down for breakfast. And then I'd go to school. See, me in school, we were allergic to each other. Boy, I wish I'd listened. How many of you wish you would have listened in school? Oh, if I could do it again, I'd play no sports. I'd read all the books they would give me. I'd do all my homework assignments. And we don't have that luxury, do we, to do it again. But you better consider your future, because you're not going to be rewarded for anything that you've done that does not have the name of Jesus tagged to it. Some people disagree with me on this, but you don't get rewards for secular work. We all are required to work. The rewards come in your service for God. So consider your future. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what? The day may bring forth. You have no idea what one day can do. Number two, study the ant. Study the ant. You know, since I've been in Florida, I've been bit by a couple ants. I don't even ask for it, and they bite me. I was down at MacDill Air Force Base here a while back, and I'm standing there, and I look down, a little red ant. I mean, I could smush him, but the damage has been done. And the ant is a very interesting creature. And Solomon brings out the ant, and he says, look at the ant. Study the ant. Here it is, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Here's what he says. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. In plain words, look at this little thing and consider what it does. He says, and be wise. Get some, can you imagine? Solomon said, you want to get smart? Study an ant. I have to get Bob Bell over there to exterminate him. And but he said, you better study these things. And then he says this, which having no guide or overseer, you know what that is? That's independence. That is integrity. That is being able to work without somebody watching them. Or a rule. Nobody rules over them. Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. In plain words, they have foresight. They can see that there is a time to sow. There's a time to reap. They're aware of that. They plan for that. Then Solomon says, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard? How long are you going to go on? Look at the ant. One time I did a whole study on the ant, but since I've moved to Florida, I can't find it. I can't find a lot of my stuff anyhow. And he says this, yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. That's why there's so much theft. That's why people are engaged in stealing, because they're lazy. They want what you have without earning it. Now, I spent 33 years in England. I think I can speak with authority. If there was one problem England had that stood above all others, it was theft. I mean, even if you went down to the castle in London to see the Queen, there'd be signs all around the place, pickpocketers at work. If you laid something down in England, we built three buildings while I was over there, the workmen would have to take their tools when they go to lunch and lock them up. If they left them out, it'd be gone. Listen, they'd even take the cement in the bucket. Theft. I don't believe you ought to take anything that don't belong to you. Amen. I think you ought to keep your hands off it. You know what the number one item in the Air Force that was taken? It was a pen. The pen. And they used to have this. It was called Amnesty Day for the pen. So you bring all your pens in. Now, to my shame, God forgive me, sometimes I'd have seven or eight of those things. And I bring them to the boss and say, Adams, how come you got all these pens? I said, first, I thought there was amnesty. He said, there is. I said, because it says on the side, it says us. I said, that means all of us, doesn't it? My tax money? He didn't like that. And then when I became a boss, I learned what you sow, you reap. I had a guy do that to me. And that's what you do. You reduce the handouts. You want other people's money, their hard-earned money, so you don't have to work, so you can lay around and get everything off everybody else's back. That's foreign to the Bible. That really is. That's foreign to the Bible. You know, it says better is a little with the righteous. And so you have to give some thought to the ant. Self-motivated. At our church, we were out in the country, and they decided to put a bench in by the call box. Oh, that's a phone booth in America. And they went out there, and they poured the cement, and they put these big bolts in, and they made it out of cast iron. And I was up there when they were doing it, and the guy said, this probably won't last 24 hours. I'm not kidding you. The next day I come back, somebody cut the bolts off, had the bench. We had a lady in our church. They went into her house and they sold her Christmas presents. One person had their Christmas tree stolen. I don't know how you could put up a tree that don't even belong to you. That reasoning is foreign to me. But when you don't want to work, that's what you do. You look for a handout. You look who you can take it from. What is yours is mine, and I'll take it if I can, is their philosophy. Do you know one time, remember, you see Todd puts that old little flint building up there from time to time. That's where I got started at. And one night I was preaching on a Sunday night. And that place was packed. And when the invitation started, this teenager, about 17 years old, started walking down like this with his hand out. I thought, Lord, now if this guy's going to hit me, help me not to retaliate. And the closer he got, he was crying. His mom played the organ, and she's looking at him, and she's, hey, what are you doing? She's trying to talk. He's looking me right in the eyes. He got all the way up there. He said, Pastor, put your hand out. And I put my hand out, and then he dropped a wad of dollars. He said, I robbed the offering plate. He said, and I God got a hold of my heart. He said, I don't want to be that way. You can rob from God. You trust me. You can rob. I'll never forget that. Be responsible for yourself. I left a children's home at 18 years of age. I didn't know my shoe size. I didn't know my waist. I had never bought a pair of pants or a shirt. And I got thrown into Philadelphia, in the city. But on the way out of that children's home, long before I was saved, I said, I am never going to live like the kids that keep coming back here, and I'm going to make something of myself. Now, if you'd have told me you'd have been a preacher, I probably would have shot you. But I determined that I was going to make something out of my life. That's what the ant does. The ant is determined to be successful. Now, you can't look at the Rockefellers or their success and your success. That's not how you measure success. You know how you measure success? By faithfulness. That's how you measure it. Here's the last one. Seek to glorify God. And this verse comes out of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Does God get glory out of what you're doing? Does he get the accolades? Does he get the credit? You know, the Bible says he'll not share his glory with another. He'll not do that. And a lot of people taking a lot of credit for a lot of things. And God just won't have that. And I think that we run into really problems when we decide to take credit instead of giving it to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says this, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's your spirit that people should see, not you, not your education. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When somebody's in the hospital and they're getting close to their last breath, they don't care what the Greek word is. They don't care what the Hebrew word is. And I know that makes preachers mad, but I do say it. And they want something to hold on to. And they want somebody that's going to pray with them and somebody's going to say, listen, I'm here to the end. And you don't need to worry. We're going to take care of your family when you're gone. They're not idle words. The children that learn in Sunday school, they learn from the teachers that are spiritual. They can tell when you are giving them the line. They can tell. They've heard the story. Listen, by the time they're in seventh grade, they heard about David and Goliath I don't know how many times. You're not going to spin it any different. In fact, some of them, you ever have a kid correct you in Sunday school class? I had the preacher's kid in my Sunday school class. And I quoted something that was wrong. He said, Brother Tom, he said, that's wrong. In front of all these other kids. Oh, yeah? Big mistake. Eat humble pie or take it up later. But what is it people see in you? What spiritual side of your life do they see? One of the things that I experienced in Romania after going over there many times, I experienced a group of people that had no Bibles. And I keep saying this, sometime I'd like to get these tapes I have and turn them over of your pastor. When he was 18 and 19 years old with me, and we used to go in to take Bibles into Romania. I'd like you to see what that's like. And these people would sit, their church services were 4.5, 5 hours. I've preached in churches where it's split down the middle, the people stand, and after every 2 or 3 songs, the other ones get up, the other ones sit down. That's how it goes. I've watched them put pennies. I have filmed pennies in the offering plate. And when you get to the back door of the church, before you walk in, you know you're coming into where God's at. You know. I've never had that experience since I left Romania. And that's all they had. And you know what amazed me? They were dirt poor. Dirt poor. But boy, they loved the Lord. They had a way of humiliating you. They'd always take you out to eat after you were done. That was to their house. And guess what you had that night? You had their supper. And they were so glad to sit there and watch you eat that. They used to humiliate me to know it. I always used to say, no, I don't want to go there. Because I knew. But no, you had to go there. One time I took Todd. And Todd didn't want to eat no more. I don't blame him. We used to eat candy bars all the time. And so we got this, that got to this farmhouse. It had a dirt floor. It had like a 40-watt light in there. You could hardly see around. And so they started bringing the food out. And Todd said, oh, Dad, this chicken, I'm allergic to chicken. So I asked him, I said, hey, my son's allergic to chicken. So the lady ran over and she come back. She said, can he eat an egg? And I said, oh, he can eat an egg. So they opened up this drawer, they pulled this egg out, and they go, blew the dust. I said, Todd, you're in trouble. I said, you better figure out some way. He said, Dad. And he got in trouble after he ate the egg, too. But they'll give you what they have. I'm telling you, my first trip in there, they got this bread for us. And I'm not kidding you. I pulled up one piece of bread and all these fleas flew out. And what we're doing right here would be the last thing you'd want to do over there. See, we have it so good, don't we? God has blessed us so much. Why don't we give him the credit? Why do we try to take it? It's a terrible thing when we become lazy. I personally believe all of us in this room have experienced it to a certain degree. Some can shake it, some can't. And so my challenge to all of us tonight is consider the end. Give some thought to your life. When you get to heaven, don't you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Aren't you glad that the Bible teaches us that God's not unrighteous to forget our works? We might not remember. You know, I have people call me all the time. I don't even remember them anymore. God remembers everything. Listen, at our age, we could give up. Don't give up. Someone is depending on you. You didn't get where you are today in Christianity to keep it to yourself.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.